Let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawlessness only will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification, by the Spirit and in faith and in truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the tradition which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope, by grace comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we get to come and just hear your word, God, to gather together as brothers and sisters in this house. Lord, I pray, God, that your Spirit will just come and guide this time, that you will just open our hearts and our minds to what you're trying to share with us today. God, may we just follow you, God, in this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So just a quick recap. Two weeks ago, I talked about chapter 1. And so chapter 1, this book is a response to different things that are happening in the Church of Thessalonians. That happened after his first letter. And so Paul is writing to clear up some misconfusion that's happening. And he's also just trying to encourage this church, because this church has gone through a lot. They're young believers. They haven't had a chance to really, they're not matured, no one's matured completely until they make it to heaven, but they're still on the more that baby side. But yet they have this love for God. And so the first chapter is talking about hope despite persecution. This chapter is talking about the day of the Lord, and then chapter 3 is the challenge to the idol. Like, not idol worship, but being still, not doing what you're supposed to, not working. All right, so then in chapter 2, just some background. So we get this sense that someone is spreading wrong information in Paul's name, saying that the day of the Lord was on them. These Christians were frightened, and actually, it kind of makes sense that they're frightened. They may think the day of the Lord's on them because of all the persecution that they have been going through. One video or one article I read was saying that they believed that the people believed that Jesus had actually come and forgotten them and had left them. And they were worried that they were left behind, that they were not the ones taken up, or whatever you want to believe on the rapture. But they really thought that Jesus had come and forgotten about them. So that's what one person was saying. And this made Paul frustrated, mostly because you get the sense that someone was saying this on behalf of Paul, like they're deceiving the people, right? And we don't know if they were doing this out of ill intent like out of their own flesh, but clearly Satan's at work trying to make these people afraid. And so Paul comes back to them and it's like he's reminding them of what he taught them. And one of the key things here is Jesus' return should not cause fear for believers, but rather hope and confidence. If you really start to think about it, right, oftentimes when we think of end times, even us, there's this fear of, because we know it's not going to be easy. We know that tribulation is going to come. We know that hardship is coming during that time. And so when we think of the very, like, we know that we're in the end times currently, but that last push when all of this is going to come into, we get afraid, right? And so we read the book. I mean, I remember being young. I think I was maybe like 16, and I decided, well, I'm going to read the book of Revelation and try to figure out what this means. No, I just can't figure out what that means. But we did it out of fear, like trying to figure out what's going to happen. What is it going to look like? And Paul's like, hey guys, let's not operate out of fear. Let's not operate out of fear. Let's operate out of hope and confidence. And I'm just thinking about, like, you know, so many times I hear people say, oh yeah, you know, the world's going to get worse and worse as we get closer to Jesus' return, which the truth is that is true, right? The signs are becoming more and more apparent because we are closer every single moment, every single day. We are closer to the return of Jesus. We are closer today than we were yesterday, and tomorrow we're even closer. But you know, there are some things that we will know. Like, I mean, there's things that we will be able to see, but as we live our life, are we living in the fear of the things around us? Or are we living in the confidence and the hope of Jesus Christ? And you know, as I was reading this and I was watching some videos on this chapter, it just reminded me of our situation in Hong Kong now, or the world now. You know, it's often so easy just to think about what we're facing here in this city. But, you know, there's so many things around the world today that people could be afraid of. You know, schools in Hong Kong are closed. I was sharing with some staff, but actually in Michigan, where I'm from, schools are shutting down just because of the influenza. You know, they're so many kids and teachers are sick. The schools, it's not because they're afraid of the flu. It's they just can't run. They legitimately cannot run. They do not have enough teachers or staff to come in to fill in for teachers. And you have that, and you have people in the States who are, you know, I'm just reading different things about just the election process right now and all the fear and the anger that's going on between people. And it's divisive. Right? People are like, we got to be unified. But you have that sense of fear in that country, and you go to other countries and you have fear of war, and you have fear of, you know, not being able to have your voice heard. And now we're afraid of a virus. And, you know, though I do believe we need to be wise, do we act out of our fear or do we act in hope? You know, this idea that no matter what happens to me, do I have hope in Jesus? You know, we've been praying for my uncle for a couple years now. Well, more than a couple, many years. Right? And he's been battling stomach cancer. And last year, his wife died, which, I mean, it was a fluke. I've shared this before. Like, it was not seen. It wasn't, she fell, she hit her head, and she passed away. And so he's moved in with my cousin and his wife. And I was talking with my cousin's wife. And she was sharing, you know, like, because my uncle's definitely getting worse. Like, it's not, he still flies to Haiti, does mission trips. He's a doctor. He's still working every day. My friend's mom is actually his patient. And she was talking about how, yeah, she just goes to him and she hears these beeping and it's his chemo coming and he lives life as normal. And I'm like, oh, my uncle, he's so, you know, interesting. That's the word I'll use for him, right? Nothing is stopping him. He's just going. And my cousin's wife said to me, but what is our faith going to be like if he's not healed? What if it doesn't get better? How will we continue to love God in this situation despite the external circumstances? Do we continue to hope in the Lord even in the difficult times? And it really struck with me, and something that I've been reflecting over the last, you know, since Christmas, this idea, even though our circumstances tell us one thing, Have we placed our true hope in Jesus? You know, and here you can see this younger church is struggling to see. And it's, you know, and it's not, Paul's not coming and bashing them. He's trying to build them up, clarify, help them see to have faith, right? He's not scolding them like little children, but correcting, right? And you can see that at the end when his prayer blessing over them, his true heart is for them to grow. But are we truly walking in the confidence of Jesus today? And it's so easy with fear coming at us through false reports and just true reports that we can lose sight of God and what he's doing. You know, Paul talks about how, you know, they're looking, and one of the reasons is they see the governments are coming against them, right? And Paul uses, like, remember what's happened in the past. He's linking it to the prophets, and he's looking at Isaiah and Daniel and two key leaders, Nebuchadnezzar and the king of the north. These were not good leaders. But he's making a pattern. He's saying, look, these terrible leaders have happened in the past, and we're going to continue to have terrible leaders in the future. And though he doesn't, and it's a pattern. And it's a pattern. And as long as we live in this sinful world, and as long as people are rebelling against God, these are the kind of leaders that are going to come up. Right? But have confidence in God. It will not continue forever. When Jesus returns, he will control the rebel and all who perpetrate evil. He will deliver his people. Right? That idea of that momentary affliction, though it seems like this affliction is not ever going away, God, we can have that hope that God will bring redemption into this world. He also links it to Mark 13, where, we can link it to Mark 13, where Jesus talks about his return. And we can also remember there is going to be some sort of clear indication that it's starting to happen. Right? I think P. Sam said it once, or someone said it once, that there's going to be a church-wide, not just pockets of the church, but the church as a main body is going to recognize it's coming. You know, I was reading this. I like watching, like, Dateline and, like, news shows about crimes. And right now in the States, it's crazy. This mother, her two children have been missing since September, and she's completely not helping police. That actually, she and her, I won't go into the bizarre, it's very bizarre. It was very fascinating. I ended up watching way too much on it, and I didn't get enough sleep last night because I was just like, wow, what is wrong with these people? But basically, this mother is part of this doomsday cult, and she believes the end of the world is going to happen in the summer, this summer, June 2020, and they cannot find her two younger children. They are gone. She will not produce them. Her husband died in a mysterious way. She got married to this other guy whose wife died in a mysterious way, and he's a doomsday prophet. And you see all this, and then there's all this weird stuff going on. And, you know, I think none of us are to that extreme, obviously. Hopefully. I mean, maybe not obviously. Hopefully. But, you know, when we get so wrapped up on when Jesus is going to return, we forget to be faithful to him now. More importantly, instead of just being like, when's Jesus going to come? When is he going to pull us out? When is this going to end? Are we remaining faithful to God in this process? Are we faithfully serving him day to day, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the external persecution, whether it's small or large, the fear that's around us? Are we faithful to God today? Will we remain faithful until he returns? You know, people believe that he's going to come back in our lifetime. I don't know. I think that's the point. Let's not so much worry about that day that in the process, that's all we're focused on. You know, don't start to go down these rabbit holes of maybe not as crazy as whatever's happening with this one mother, right? Where we don't know what's actually happened. But in our own lives, you know, it may not be that obvious to the world, but to us, are we starting to walk in, God, just come back, instead of, let's be faithful. The solution is Jesus coming back. But the solution is also us being his hands and feet today. And then he ends with this closing prayer that is comfort and strength. You know, in these times of trouble, in these things in your life, and these are various times of trouble. Every one of you, we have societal trouble. We have our personal struggles. In these times, do we turn to God for comfort? We can turn to God to comfort. You know, Paul is saying, I'm going to read that portion again, starting with verse 16. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope for grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. May God be the one that gives you strength. You know, it's this, Paul is the best person at doing these spiritual blessings, these prayers of blessings, you know, really prophesying what God wants through prayer. And here he's saying, may God be our comfort in everything we do. And is it him that we turn to in these times? Or do we turn? It is great. Turn to your pastors. You know, let them help. But is your initial response to go on Wikipedia and read? Or go onto Google and type in whatever it is, you know, the return of God? I mean, I've done it before. I know I've looked up, what are the signs? You know, or do we go to webmed.com when we're feeling sick and all of a sudden it's like you have cancer and really you just have a cold, you know, like it's true. Many times there's all these symptoms that you may have and it's just the cold, right? Or a cough or the flu. But where do we turn for our comfort? Are we turning for our comfort from the things of the world? You know, God is the one behind science. Like, let's not think science is evil and terrible, but are we getting our comfort from them or from God? So this morning, I just really want us to focus on three things in our life. Are we afraid today? Are we afraid today? And if you are, be reminded that fear, except for the fear of God, which is different, but fear does not come from God. Fear comes from Satan. And so if you're struggling with any areas in your life of fear, whether it's with the virus that's going around, if it's with getting a job, getting married, children, paying rent, whatever it is, are you fearing the circumstances? Because if you are, it's not from God. Be comforted by God. You know, though we can look for the signs of Christ's return, are you remaining faithful in your circumstances right now? You know, maybe it's not the Christ return that's absorbing you or leading you down a path of not focusing on the truth, right? But whatever it is that's not helping you focus on the truth, are you still being faithful? Are you turning to his word, his truth for your answers? And know that God is your comfort. So as P. Nate comes up to lead worship, let's just seek God and let's just ask him to reveal our heart. Reveal what's going on in us this morning about why are we doing the things that we are doing? Is it a reaction or is it out of a love relationship with God that we can live not in fear this morning?
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ. Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe. Saints communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of, I believe in life eternal. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Let's just spend some time giving thanks to God for all that He has done, for the hope that we have in Him. And let's just spend time just praising His name this morning. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and different surgeries. Let's just pray for God's healing hands in their life. Let's just pray for just complete healing from cancer. And let's just also pray that they will remain faithful to God during this time. For those who are suffering from various illnesses but also need to meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior, let's just pray for an encounter with Jesus today, this week, that their eyes and their ears will be open to Him. And let's also just pray for a healing of these various illnesses. Pray for those who are battling other infirmities. Let's just continue to pray for healing into their lives. Pray for those searching for jobs. Let's just pray that God will just continue to be their provider in this time, this waiting season. And let's just pray for open doors for them to know exactly when that door is open and to walk through it. Turn to our mission focus and let's lift up SPSG, Spin, Spill, and SP New York. Let's just really cover their leaders, their families. Let's just pray for wisdom for the leaders during this time with just the different things going on in the cities. And let's just pray for God just to continue to be glorified in these four plants. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's just really pray for all their leaders, their teachers. Let's pray for all the kids and students. Let's just pray that God will just lead and guide these ministries. And let's just pray that our kids and students will just have such a firm foundation of faith that will continue with them all their lives. May they truly encounter God. Lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP, the well and river. Let's just really pray for Matt and Rachel as they lead these teams. Let's just pray for all the members of the team, and let's just pray that God, yeah, just will be known. Healing will take place in this church. Let's pray. Well, there's actually no evening activity taking place because Homie is suspended right now while during the virus. But let's just really pray for the poor. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray that all the things they need, face masks and hand sanitizer and cleaning supplies, everything that they need will be provided. And let's just pray for peace. And let's just continue to pray for the families that we do visit, though that we can't go now, that they will just know God's love during this time. Pray for our house churches gathering tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's just pray for unity. Let's pray for peace. Let's just pray for such an amazing time where they can just talk about the different gifts God has given them and how God is going to use them both in house church, in the body, and in the larger body of SP and in the church wide. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just pray for peace. Let's pray that God will be made known in this city and that He will be the source of strength for our leaders, for us, for the people we encounter, and just for everyone that lives here. Thank you. God, we just thank you for your love. God, we thank you that we can turn to you and put our hope and confidence in you and you alone. God, Lord, help us to build our faith that we can do that. God, help us to trust you in these circumstances. God, whatever our circumstances may be, God, may you be our source of strength. Lord, we just invite you to our lives today to show us, to guide us, to lead us. Lord, help us to see what it is you're calling us to do today, tomorrow, God. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we will just have faith to just follow whatever you call us to do. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you and we love you. Jesus, we just pray all this in your name. Amen. Have a great rest of your day and prayer time.